Well, hello and welcome. It's good to be with you this afternoon, and I hope that you're having a great day in the Lord, that you've already heard from Him, that you're growing in His grace and growing in your relationship with Him, experiencing His love. And it's good to be able to be with you and to be able to have this time together with Him. And so as we open God's Word and seek to hear from Him, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for this day that You've given to us. Lord God, Your eternal love for us. Father, for calling us to this time. Lord, Your desire to speak to us. Father, Your Word that You have inspired and preserved. Father, we're thankful for Your Spirit whom You have sent to interpret it for us. And Lord, to speak through it to us. Lord God, as we're here, we just simply desire, oh God, to hear from You. Reveal to us who You are. Help us to see You great in a greater way than we ever have before. Lord, to know You better, to trust You. Father, to be pleasing in Your sight. Speak to us, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, this afternoon, we turn to the book of Psalms. And probably all of us enjoy the book of Psalms because it helps that we see a lot of deep theology. We see a very practical faith, and we see it in terms of everyday life. And many times through the Psalms, we see a problem that we are going to encounter again today. That is the fact, this sinful world system that we live in. How, in fact, we can face it, how we can live in it. As we open God's Word to Psalm 37, we see that this is exactly what the psalmist there, in fact, David, is dealing with. And if you read through the entire psalm, you'll see words repeatedly like evildoers, wrongdoers, wicked, evil, the violent, transgressors. And we read those words, and I mention them, you hear them, we think, well, that's the world that we live in. And we wonder, how can we live in such a world? And Psalm 37 gives us some very practical advice about living in a very, very sinful world. And so as we look through this psalm, we see advice, we see counsel, commandments that we can, in fact, apply so that we can live in this system. As we read the psalm, the first thing that we see is that, number one, we need to keep an eternal perspective. Certainly, we see all this taking place around us. But in our thinking and our mindset, we need to have an eternal perspective. Think of what we read in verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers. Now understand, when we read there in verse 1 where it says do not fret, it's not just, you know, telling yourself, okay, well, just don't worry about it. You know, just some sort of baseless hopism, some sort of baseless optimism, because all of God's Word in this psalm is very clear about wrongdoers, evildoers, and their intent, their desires. In fact, if you drop down to verse 12, it talks about them. It says, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. You drop down to verse 14. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. You go over to verse 32. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. Now we read verses like that, and then we think what we just read in verse 1. We think, well, how can we not worry? How can we not fret when we see this taking place in the world around us, and we realize these are the waters we swim in. This is the world that we live in. The reason is because God in His righteous judgment will in fact deal with them. Look at verse 2. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. It's not to imply that that just simply happens, but it means that God intervenes and judges. Look at how we see this in several verses. Verse 13, the Lord laughs at him, talking about the wicked, for he sees his day is coming. Verse 15, their sword will enter their own heart and their bows will be broken. Look at verse 17. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. Go down to verse 20. But the wicked will perish, and the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. You know, this is very similar to Psalm 73, where the psalmist becomes just very burdened and concerned as he sees the wicked not only getting by with it, but profiting from it. And it troubles him, it burdens him. And then you read through that 73rd Psalm, you come to that verse, it said, until I came into the sanctuary, and then I perceived their end. What was he talking about? The same thing here. He had an eternal perspective. He saw the fact that God was going to deal with them. This ought to give us a comfort. This ought to give us an assurance as we see the wickedness and the evil in our world around us and those committing it. It's not that they're getting by with it. It's not that they're getting away with it, whether we're talking about crime or corruption or political betrayal, whatever the case may be, because God's in fact going to deal with it. And that's not to say that we rejoice at the thought of a particular individual coming under judgment, but it's saying that we can have confidence in the righteousness of God. We can and we must have an eternal perspective as we look at the sinful world around us. But then notice number two, we trust in the Lord. The fact is, that's exactly what it says in verse 3, trust in the Lord. And the idea there is not just that God exists, not just that God will do something someday, somewhere, but a confidence and reliance upon God. You know, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord, what, with all of your heart. And you think about what it means to put our complete confidence and trust in God. You know, I'm sitting here, as we do in most of our times together, sitting in this rocker. And as I'm sitting here, I can tell you, all of my weight is on this rocker right now. I'm not trying to prop myself up in case it breaks. I'm not trying, you know, I don't have a rope that's hanging down from the ceiling for me to hang on to in case it breaks. I have absolute confidence this rocker is going to hold my weight. And I put everything I have upon this rocker. That's what it means to trust in the Lord. We put our complete confidence in Him in terms of our thinking, in terms of our actions, in terms of our reactions. All of it is based upon God being real, God being present, and God working. Again, you think about how you see this in this psalm. Look at verses 23 and 24. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he'll not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Think about verses 39 through 40. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them, because they take refuge in him. Believer, God is with you today. He is working in your life, in your situation. He is with you as we go through this very sinful world. Put your complete confidence in him. Again, you think about me sitting in this rocker, or perhaps you're sitting in a chair right now, putting your complete weight and trust and confidence in that rocker. Your thinking was shaped. You probably didn't think about it. You're so confident in that chair, you just simply sat down in it. You knew it was going to hold you up. Our God is a whole lot more faithful and competent and capable than any rocker or any chair ever will be. We need to trust in him completely. But then notice what else we need to do. Because we trust him, we need to see, live faithfully. Look what we see, or three rather, live faithfully. Look at the middle of verse 3, on through the end of the verse. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Very simply means to live as God would have you to live, in obedience, in Christ-likeness. Look at verses 27 and then verse 34. Depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. Look at verse 34. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. You know, as we face a very sinful world, a very sinful culture, let's be honest, we're tempted to join in, tempted to be part of the crowd, tempted to, at the very least, compromise, to operate on that level, to win in Rome, do as the Romans do. But for a believer, that will not work, because God won't let it work. We need to live for him. We need to trust in the Lord, again, that he's real, he's present, he's working, put our complete confidence in him, and live as he would have us to live. You know, I remember a story of involving a couple of friends of mine, and one of them was working in an office environment where a lot of questionable things were going on, and this other believer counseled this other one. I'm being deliberately vague on names. You need to do the right thing. You know, in spite of what's taking place in the office, in spite of other people coloring outside the lines, so to speak, and compromising, you need to do the right thing. Child of God, that's great counsel for us, no matter what we're facing in our life right now. We need to do the right thing. Of course, the right thing is determined and defined and described by God. We need to live faithfully for him. Wasn't that the story, if you will, of Daniel? Even though he was a young man sent into a far country, a foreign godless culture, and was put in a system that was deliberately designed to break them of every aspect of Judaism, and hence from that their obedience and their faithfulness unto God, Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself. What does that mean? He sought to live faithfully. We need to live faithfully unto the Lord. But notice number four, and I know I'm moving quickly because we have several, and I want all of these to be held together in the time that we have. Delight in the Lord. Look at the very first part of verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Now, you've probably heard that and read that. Verse 4 is very familiar to us, standalone promise in God's Word. But I want us to stop and think about what that means. It means to truly put God first. Deuteronomy 6:5 reminds us that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and might. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You think about what it means. Think of all of what we read now in verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, what? And he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, we often misquote that. You probably have heard it mistaught and mispreached. That, you know, God will give you just whatever you want if you just, you know, make sure to quote, keep him first. That's really not what the verse says. What the verse is telling us is that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, that is truly put him first, he will lay upon our heart the things that he wants us to desire. And because that those things are his will, he will in fact bring them about. He will in fact fulfill them. We must keep God in the rightful place in our lives. Then he will guide us. He will give us direction. He will reveal his will. And again, because it's his will, he will in fact bring it about. He will accomplish it. But we need to put him first. But then notice what we do as a result of that. Number 5, we follow the Lord. You know, as God reveals that path to us, we need to follow him. We need to do it. Look at verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Remember, think about those verses together. You put God first. Allow him to lay the desires upon your heart that he wants you to desire, his will. And as you follow him in obedience, he himself will bring it about. You know, it's the same thing that we read in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I know I've quoted Adrian Rogers, who I heard on the radio at least, preach that message one time. And he said the idea there is not that God will just show you, you know, this path or that path, but the idea there is, yes, he shows you which path to go on, but he clears the way ahead of you. In fact, as he used illustration, he bulldozes the path ahead of you. When we delight in him, that is, trust, put him first, and when we follow him as he leads. And you just think about the fact of God clearing the path for you. And again, you think about that illustration that Adrian Rogers used, like a bulldozer clearing the path. What can stand in the way of God? Nothing. Nothing in this sinful world or the real satanic power behind it can stop our God. But we follow him as we put him first because we've trusted in him as a result of having that eternal perspective. You know, God's word for us is very clear. We do live in a very evil, sinful, wicked world. And it's very obvious that the current trajectory of our nation and society is worsening. And unless there's a revival, it's going to get even worse. And if these are truly the last days before the rapture, as it's looks pretty clearly that they very well could be, it's only going to get worse. But God is still the same. He is still faithful. We need to base our thinking upon him, put him first, trust in him, follow him, and he will in fact guide us through. He will in fact clear the path. God will carry us through these evil days. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, Lord, thank you for being honest with us and telling us, Lord, what this world is really like. But, oh God, thank you that you also tell us, even more importantly, what you're like, who you are, your strength, your power, your goodness, your righteousness, Lord, your wisdom, the perfection in all that you do. Lord, open our eyes to see you and your greatness and your love. Father, your faithfulness. Father, may we entrust ourselves completely to you and follow you. Lord, you are a good and faithful and trustworthy God, and we can rest in you. Be with us through this day and in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, you know, taking a very honest look at the world around us, it's a very sinful, evil world. The Bible makes it very clear. But we have a God who is wonderful and great and marvelous, whom we can trust. And I hope your eyes are fully on him today, that you're watching him, keeping your focus on him, trusting him, experiencing him, and because you're able to do that, that you have a great day in him.